Hello. You are listening to the Grieving Parents Sharing Hope podcast. We are here to walk with parents on their unwanted journey of child loss, guiding them to a place of hope, light, and purpose, not in spite of their child's death, but as a way to honor his or her life. And now, here is your host, author, speaker, and bereaved parent, Laura Deal.
Hi, thank you for joining me today. Last week, as I was recording, I said something that made me think maybe I should do the next episode on the topic of waiting. Then within the hour of that, I went live on YouTube, and the verse I pulled from the Blessings of Hope box was Psalm 130, verse 5, which says, "I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits, and in His word I put my hope." And that seemed to confirm it, so here we are. Waiting. One of the hardest and most exhausting things to do is waiting. I remember so many times waiting through Becca's amputation or one of her heart surgeries. When Dave had quadruple bypass surgery, Becca got to be on the waiting end of things, and she made the comment that she had no idea what it was like to be on that end of things and how hard it was. She even said that she would rather be on the surgery end than the waiting end. The two things I think that we as bereavers are waiting on the most is for it to stop hurting so much and obviously waiting to be with our child again. And as I started putting together what I wanted to share, I realized I could do an entire episode on each one. So that is what I plan on doing. This week, I want to talk about waiting for it to stop hurting so much. I have yet to meet a freshly grieving parent within the first couple of years after the death of their child who doesn't want to know, when will this stop hurting so much? It's so very hard, and we don't think we will ever be able to live again without that crushing, all-consuming pain. Back years ago, well, over 40 years now, when Dave and I were dating, he asked God a few times about proposing to me, but he kept hearing the word wait. After a while, he decided to do a bit of a study on that word wait, and he discovered that one of the biblical meanings is a carved work. In other words, in the waiting process, God was doing a carved work in both of us so that we would fit together more tightly in a marriage. There have been many times since then that I have needed to wait on God as He does a deep carved work that is often hidden from my view. I probably don't even need to say that Becca's death was definitely one of those times. Now, let me clarify something. I do not believe for one second that God caused Becca's death. What I believe with every fiber of my being is that when God created this world, He turned it over to man, giving each human being a free will to make choices. And mankind messed things up from the very beginning, turning it all over to Satan. And we are now all forced to deal with the sin and corruption that is here as a result of that. We all have, each one of us has a free will to make choices. And those choices can literally be deadly to others. Now, in Becca's case, it was the decay, the corruption, and the illness that the enemy was able to release on this earth because of man's choices that so deeply affected our daughter in getting cancer and then later having heart failure because of one of the chemo drugs. Trusting God with our lives does not mean that nothing bad will ever happen to us. What it means is that when these horrible tragedies happen here on this earth, in this corrupt world that we're living in right now, He is with us every second, even when we can't see Him or feel His presence. As we wait on God to bring us through this dark, dark place, resting in Him, crying and screaming at Him, and allowing Him to be God in the middle of our mess, He is truly doing a carved work that is hidden from our view. And I want to encourage you to keep waiting through the pain, the suffocating darkness, and the grief that is so deep it has no words. He is with you, and He is at work in you. I promise because He promises. And the other reason that I know He is at work in you is because He has been at work in me. I could not have made it this far without Him doing a carved work in my pain and my darkness. He did it for me, and He will do it for you. I remember the first time a grieving parent told me, "You may have been able to get to that place, but I don't ever see myself getting there." It was the second year after her daughter's death, and I had just tried to talk her out of getting rid of all her Christmas decorations because she believed she would never, ever celebrate that holiday again. It is natural for a grieving parent who's feeling the full weight of their deep loss to believe it will be impossible for them to ever have a life worth living again. In fact, I don't know if I've ever met a grieving parent who didn't struggle with feeling that way for those first few months or years. Do you remember the angel's response when Mary asked how she could become pregnant as a virgin? The answer that she was given is found in Luke chapter 1, verse 37, and she was told, "For with God, nothing is or ever shall be impossible." And we have something powerful that Mary didn't have. We have the Spirit of God actually dwelling inside us full time, 24/7. So if He is in each one of us, then nothing is too difficult or impossible when we turn it over to God who is living inside us and we allow Him to do the needed work. Do I still struggle? Yes, I do, without a doubt. On the day that Becca had been gone for 10 birthdays, I cried all day. Just last week, for whatever reason, the old song of Twyla Paris, "The Warrior is a Child," came to my mind, and it was one of Becca's favorite songs, might even consider her theme song. So I pulled it up, and I played it, and I had a really hard cry, which I haven't done in a while, just because I miss her so much. But that spark of hope never leaves me. I won't let it. I have hope that it will get brighter again, even when I have those dark times. I have hope that God has joy and laughter in my life again. I have hope that this is only temporary because I am going to see Becca again someday. Hope is in me because the giver of hope is in me, and the same giver of hope is in you, which means hope is in you. And the giver of hope is in my friend I shared about who thought she would never be able to celebrate Christmas again. I was glad to hear that she did get rid of some of her things, but not everything at that time. And it did take a couple more years, but she did get back to putting up a few decorations and doing some of her Christmas baking again. She did get to that place she thought she would never get to, from her place of hopelessness and darkness. Now, just talking to her fairly recently within the last year, she has still never gone all out and done Christmas decorating, but she also doesn't have small children at home either. But she does put up decorations and she does celebrate Christmas. It is easy for someone on the outside looking in to be able to see hope in someone else's future. But hope is not something that can be forced onto another person. When you're the one on the inside trying to dig yourself out of a black pit that you were hurled into, hope is almost impossible to see, much less believe in. And it sure doesn't help to have those who have never lost a child try to pump hope into us. I don't believe the saying that time heals all wounds. I don't know if anyone's told you that. It's probably something you've heard of before, but I believe that it's what you do while you wait that brings measures of healing. I know that sounds like it might be like an oxymoron, doing something while you wait. But to give you some more hope here, let me share with you some things that I have found that helped me during that waiting time, the times when I just want to go back to bed and ignore life, because even then, deep down, I also want to get past the roadblock that has me feeling overwhelmed and ready to give up on things. One time, I found myself writing an email to someone, dumping out all of my woes, my pains, my frustrations, and that did three things. First of all, it let me see if the things that I was upset about were really valid or not. It got that yuckiness out of my system, keeping me from holding on to it, kind of detoxing, I guess, emotionally. Because when I hold on to things that make me feel discouraged and depressed, I start seeing myself as a victim and having kind of a martyr mentality, which no one around me appreciates for good reason. And I'm also affected physically. My body starts to shut down. And the longer I hold on to it, the longer it takes me to recover once I let go of those things that are just pulling me down. And then the third thing when I wrote this email was that writing it out also gave me a different way of looking at things and even possible solutions to get around some of the things that kind of sucked me under at the time. Now, after I reread the page and a half that I'd written to my friend, I canceled the email instead of sending it. Why? Well, because she really didn't need to have me dump on her like that, and I felt better. So it really didn't need to be sent. So the next time you are feeling that overwhelming sense of, I can't do this, I can't go on, I give up, I suggest have a good cry if you're like me, and then tell someone in writing what is going on inside you. You don't have to be an author, you don't have to be good at grammar, just write it out. And if you don't know who to write to me if you want to. And then when you read through what you have written, and have had somewhat of a release, don't send it for the same reasons I didn't send mine. And then if you need to go back to bed, do that too, because this grief journey really is about you, especially if you are in the first couple of years and in survival mode. Another suggestion I have is to force yourself to do something physical as self-care to release some of the pressure to make you feel better. Now, I suggest something physical because that spills over into making us feel better emotionally, mentally, and even spiritually. My father-in-law was known to say, sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is get some sleep, take care of our bodies. It doesn't have to be something big. How about just a walk around the block? Or a nice warm bath with candles. Maybe only eat 2 cookies instead of 8 or half the bag. I cannot emphasize enough how important self-care is in our grief, especially when we don't care one bit about what happens to us. We need to do what we can to take care of ourselves, even if it's just little things. Make sure you're drinking extra water, whatever it is, but take some steps for self-care. And like I said, even if you don't care, take care of yourself anyway in some little ways. Because once you get to the point where you do care, it's going to be a lot harder on you if you haven't been doing little things along the way. Now, I want to talk about our perspective, which is so important, especially when we're waiting for enough healing of our shattered heart to stop hurting so bad. Our perspective also has a lot to do with how quickly we're going to get through the horrific darkness and that stabbing pain. If we feel hopeless, we won't do anything to move in the direction of learning how to live a life of meaning and purpose again in a way that honors the life of our child. Now, I want to remind you again that we need to have a perspective of hope, that it is even possible to find our way out of the suffocating darkness. And most often, that comes by seeing others who have been in that same place after child loss, that they are now living a full life within the sadness of missing their child. Now, I want to share three things that might help to shift your perspective in a way that will help you to move in a needed direction during this time of waiting for God to do His carved work in you. First of all, I know some of you may not want to admit this, but the Bible is right when it tells us in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, it says to die is gain. And I'm not talking about us, but our child's gain. And yes, I know our children died before they could experience some important milestone things on this earth. But what they have gained far exceeds any experience this world could have given them. When we can shift our focus to being happy and excited for them at what they have gained, it can help ease some of our pain. The second thing is this life is not permanent. We know that. We're very aware of that, I know. But the thing is, our time here on earth, our time, okay, is only like the blink of an eye. It is this teeny tiny dot on the line of eternity. And where we are going has none of this world's heartache, turmoil, separation. We need to make a shift to having more of a vision for the permanency of eternity than we do this vapor of life that is here today and gone tomorrow that James chapter 4, verse 14 talks about. And the other thing, this is another one that's hard to hear, but God is always good. And here the needed shift comes when we understand that good does not mean he gives me whatever I want whenever I want it. Good means that he sees what we cannot see and he knows what we don't know. And if we can't see anything good yet from what has happened, it means God isn't done yet. Now, there's a difference between faith and trust. Faith is believing in what God does, having like this hopeful expectation in what God does for me. And trust is having a belief in God's character and who he is. It goes beyond what God does for me to keep me happy and keep me from, you know, going through anything painful. But it is trusting, believing in his character and who he is, that he is with me, that this isn't the end. And that, like I said, he sees what I can't see. He knows what I don't know. Now, like I said before, I don't believe it's time that heals. It's a combination of what you do with your time while allowing God to do a carved work in you while you wait. Saving $1 at a time in a piggy bank doesn't seem like much, but each time you add another dollar, it grows. And adding $1 at a time can eventually turn into literally hundreds of dollars. And it may not seem like you're doing much, but the smallest change in perspective means that there will be a small change in your thoughts and your beliefs, and it won't happen right away. In fact, the shift will probably build so slowly during the waiting that it will seem like a suddenly when a breakthrough comes. One shift in perspective that has happened for me is before, when I thought of my loss, I would cry to the point where I could hardly breathe. And instead, it's gotten easier and easier to think of Becca's gain and to let my mind imagine what it's like for her in heaven, moving me in the direction of peace so that I can not only function, but live a fulfilled life until it's my time to join her. So I want to just encourage you to ask the Lord to help get your piggy bank started with these tiny shifts in at least one perspective. Another reason this is so important is that what you focus on is what will grow, first in your thoughts and then in your words and actions. And that's true of any area of our lives. I understand when our child dies, the grief is all consuming. We can't help it. We're in shock. We've faced one of the worst traumas possible in this life. Many of us also have PTSD. The reality of what happened is something our mind knows, but our heart is in disbelief, and it takes a long time to process. But there does come a time where life starts to distract us from our grief, and we get to choose whether to go with it for a short time or to dismiss it and remain focused on the grief and the pain of a very deep loss. And when those opportunities happen, if you continually choose to focus on the pain and the earthly loss of your child, it's going to continue to grow and it's going to continue sucking you under, feeling like you're being tossed around by the crashing waves forever, unable to catch your breath. And that is a terrifying thought. And I do remember having them. Those life distractions are times when it's like you can come out from under the waves to catch your breath. And we need to take them whenever possible. But you can do even more than that. You can get to the point where you can make a conscious decision to think about what and who you still have in your life. When you take the time to think about and focus on and give thanks for what or who you still have, your love for them, still wanting to be part of their lives, that's what's going to begin to grow. And eventually it will bring you out of that deep, dark, suffocating place. And that does not mean you are forgetting your child or leaving your child behind. That cannot happen. It is not the pain that keeps you attached to your child. It is your love that forever keeps you attached to your child. Now, obviously, we didn't get a choice about the death of our child, but we each have a choice for ourselves while we remain here on this earth, life or death. When life wants to pull you up to the surface occasionally, are you going to refuse, choosing to continue living as though you are dead? Or are you going to take advantage of the chance to breathe? As you make that choice again and again, you will eventually find yourself focusing more on and being thankful for the life your child lived instead of being stuck in the pain of his or her death. We can't just wish this pain wouldn't be so intense. We can't keep saying we'll never get better or we'll never be able to live without our child here with us, because that is not waiting on God to do the work in you to lessen the pain. As a matter of fact, that's really pretty much working against what God is doing in that deep, deep place inside you. I remember during those first couple of years how I would go to God over and over again with my pain and my wondering, my feeling so worthless and useless in my paralyzing grief. And over and over again, he would tell me it was okay to just rest in him, lean on him, cry to him, and more than anything, to trust him and the deep work he was doing in me. This may sound really strange, but there is somewhat of a release in accepting the fact that this is normal for losing a child and to allow yourself to rest in God to bring his healing in his way and his timing. There was one time I even heard God ask me in my heart, "Can you hold on in this place? Because I am here with you." And my response I wrote in my journal was, "Lord, whittle away. I'll wait while you do this carved work, whatever it is. Just be my strength and my hope through it, please." Another time, God led me to Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 8. And verse 8 is probably familiar to you. It says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Now, I wrote down each portion of this verse, and then I made myself think of those things and write them down, such as whatever things are true. And I wrote a whole page of what was true in my life, truth based on what God says. And I went through the whole verse that way. Every slight shift in perspective would help pull me a little bit more out of that place of pain and darkness to a place of being able to function again and eventually feel like life was still worth living. I wish I could tell you that at a specific point in time, the deep suffocating pain will stop, but I can't. What I can tell you is that it will, probably not as soon as you want it to, but it will. How do I know? Because it happened to me and to countless other parents who also did not think it ever would. I want you to tell yourself out loud, if Laura can do it, if her friend can do it, if others can do it, so can I with God's help. I believe within the waiting process of our painful grief, God is doing a very deep carved work in each one of us, something that goes way beyond anything that makes sense in the suffocating darkness. Like I said, it probably won't happen as fast as you want it to, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will not always be in this painful place. And let me just say, if not here, then for sure when we're there with our children in His glorious presence forever. And I have a pretty strong feeling that the waiting will be worth it. Before we get to the birthday segment, I want to ask you something. Does the Grieving Parent Sharing Hope podcast help you on this unwanted journey of child loss? If so, would you please consider rating and writing a short review? Writing a review sharing why you like listening to this podcast carries a lot more weight than just clicking on the stars for a rating. And writing a review will help me support more bereavers just like you, giving them hope in their place of darkness. Reviews are very important. So if you would write one for this podcast, I would really appreciate it. Just click on the podcast like you're looking for one of the episodes. Scroll past the episodes that are listed and, you know, go to the bottom of that. You'll see the stars there with the rating and give it a tap. Hopefully you'll give it a 5-star rating. And then underneath that, it will say write a review. Now you might have to scroll down just a bit further, maybe below a review or two to find where it says write a review, but it will be under those stars somewhere. Click on that and then just write a sentence or two on why you like to listen to this podcast or why you think others should listen to this podcast. And once again, I really do thank you for just taking, what, 90 seconds or so to write a review for this so that it will help other bereavers find this and choose to listen and get the hope that you're getting as well. Let's go ahead to our birthday segment for this week. Jason Turner was born on May 20th and is forever 36. Zach Sexton was born on May 20th and is forever 36. Isaiah Santel was born on May 22nd and is forever 16. Kyle Terry was born on May 24th and is forever 28. We celebrate with these families the day these young men came into the world. We know it will always be a special day and worth celebrating. If you would like to have your child's birthday announced the week of his or her birthday, I would love to be able to do that for you. Just go to gpshope.org/birthdays. Fill in the information, including the pronunciation, if sometimes your child's first or last name is mispronounced, because I do want to say it correctly. Submit that information, and your son or daughter will be added to the birthday segment the week of his or her birthday. Psalm 27, verse 14 says, "Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord." In our darkness, we're waiting a long time because God is doing a carved work, and He will even let us believe that He's betrayed us and let us be angry with Him as He is at work in our darkness. He continues, though, knowing that someday we will understand, and that someday may not be until we are reunited with our child. Just dare to tell God that you are going to wrestle with Him until you see something good in your life because of the earthly departure of your child. Fight for it and realize sometimes that fighting is learning how to rest in Him while He is at work preparing your personal miracle, which is something only He can do in such a place of darkness and pain. None of us can understand God's ways, especially when it takes us to such a dark place and it all seems so very unfair. So often, we think our life is not as valuable as our child's life was. We're older. They had more to live for. They had more talents and abilities than we do. Why would God receive my child into His eternal presence ahead of me when they deserve to live more than I do? Now, here's a thought. when we're convinced that we should have gone first, we're also saying that we deserve to be in heaven right now more than they do, and that they should be the one still here putting up with this crappy world instead of me, because I know there are good things that our children are missing out on, but there's also a whole lot of yucko stuff going on here that our children are missing out on. And so when we're saying it should have been me that died, we're saying I should be the one that's out of here and my child should still be here in this world facing all the crap and stuff that I'm facing, that the rest of us have to face. So that's just another change of, you know, another way of perspective of seeing things sometimes. Let me close by saying, as you wait in the darkness, God is doing a carved work in you. It's a work that's so deep, no one can see it, including you. Allow yourself to be okay with the waiting. Allow God to do the work that He knows will make you shine, both for Him and for your child. We have a promise in Psalm 147, verse 3. He heals the wounds of every shattered heart. Thank you, Lord, for that promise. May it come to pass to every one of these parents, bereavers, who are listening to this episode. And as you wait, hold on to the hope that it won't always be this dark and painful. If you don't have your own hope, you can lean on and borrow mine. So hold on. Pain eases. There is hope.